This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who considers a silver medal a participation award, Pete Schwabba.
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. This is our one-year anniversary show, and we have just had so much fun. We've got great guests tonight. Chris Foran just left us. We are about to be joined by a fellow Civic Media teammate here, Joel Karnick from Q98 in Park Falls. And then Bill Leff, our first guest ever, 1 year ago tonight, will be on the show at 7:35. And our question tonight, in honor of National Santa's List Day, is what is on your Santa list? What do you want for Christmas? It's pretty straightforward. I'll read your text coming up. Terry Barr, our friend, checks in over the stream and says, happy anniversary. Thank you so much, Terry. Terry Barr is a huge part of Nightlight. She's on every Friday for Bar Band Friday night. And we love our time with Terry, and she does a ton of other stuff at Civic Media. So thank you so much for the wishes, Terry. And you are part of the reason we've been on this long. Right, Conrad? Does it feel like longer?
Yeah, it kind of does.
Careful now. Yeah, working with you, Pete, it seems like we've been on for 10 years. Yeah. All right, let's talk to an actual radio pro who joins us now on the stream. He is Joel Karnick. He's the program director and the morning host at Q98 Country in Park Falls, and he joins us now for the first time ever. This is exciting. Joel, great to have you, and great to meet you.
Yeah, Pete, if I would have known it was your one-year anniversary, I would have brought flowers or something, but I'm kind of I brought a trophy. I'll send this trophy to you. How about that?
I would love
it. Just looking around the room, trying to find, I feel like I should have brought something to the venue here. So happy one-year anniversary.
Thank you very much. And, you know, I wouldn't have said, if you had a tuxedo in your closet and wanted to wear it, that would have been fine. But I think what we're doing here, it's pretty casual. So it's great to have you on the show. How you doing
Thank
tonight?
You. We're doing good. We're tired after the 9-day gun deer season. 7 of those 9 days we were on from 6 to 8 at night, and I do the morning show too. So yeah. It's kind of recovery week for the old guy here, the old the old buck, the old vet of 98Q here.
You've been there for over 20 years, right? Doing that morning show. That's a crazy popular show. Talk about your run there. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, 25 years. I've been in radio for almost. Wow. 40 years now, almost 40 years. So started way back in Menominee, Wisconsin, back in 1986. So yeah, we've been here since 2000 up here in the north in Park Falls, where people always ask me, they say, Park Falls, they kind of try to figure out where it is. And I say, just go to Lake Superior, turn around, go a few miles, and there we are. Or a little farther south than Lake Superior. But yeah, it's been a fun run up here. It's a Northwoods hunting backwoods atmosphere once you get north of Highway 8, but I really enjoyed my time here.
That's so great. I can only hope to be on the air half as long as you've been on there. So let's jump right in. We have these company meetings every week, and for the last 3 weeks, they've been dominated by talk of this feature you do, which is crazy popular, Deer Hunters Roundup. I know it just ended on December 1st. But I know I have a lot of listeners who hunt, and I don't know if they're aware of it or not, but let's make them aware of it now so they can hit the ground running next year when you start it up again. Tell us about Deer Hunters Roundup.
Yeah, if they want to get a taste of it, they can go to YouTube 98Q Country, and we actually, for the first time this year, streamed video from the studio, which I strongly advise them not to do, but they did anyway. Actually, it was a good thing. It was fun to have our listeners interact via YouTube also. But yeah, I mean, people love to hunt. It's a crazy show, Pete, because there's a lot of radio stations up here that do a show called similar Deer Hunters Roundup, Deer Hunters, whatever they want to call it. But we're really the only one that is foolish enough to open up the phone lines and talk to mildly intoxicated hunters from all across northern Wisconsin.
Mildly? And,
okay. Every new ownership I've had at the station has always said, do you think we should put in a delay? And I said, well, we've been doing this for over 20 years. We've had a couple of borderline things, but our listeners value the show, and they really they behave themselves, and that's what makes the show popular, is that it's 2 hours of just live call-ins. And I think it's gotten more popular because all this information, you know, the deer kill and about the wolves and bears and everything, that's all online. You can read that. All the information now is there. We don't really need to present that on our show. Our show is just about the experience of hunting in the middle of the Shawamigan National Forest, or a camper out on somebody's back 40. It's about that hunting experience. And that's, I think, why people have kind of latched onto this show.
So what kind of stuff do they say, Joel? Like, do they just talk about the deer they got, or their experience, or the fact that they're not getting a deer? Like, what kind of stuff do you hear typically, just as an example?
Well, if you listen back to the show, our archive, you'll see every call we start with says, where are you calling from? And almost every person that calls in has a name of a camp. So that's the number one thing. You know, we got the Red Solo Cup Camp. We've got the Lactanookie Lodge. It goes on and on and on, the camp names. So the hunters, I think, just want to share their experience of not only this year's hunt, but their family, what the hunt means to them. A lot of them, it's the only time of the year where their family gets together, or they see people. And a lot of times people from their youth hunting will then come back for a few days over the hunt. So it's a reunion of sorts. So it's about just kind of family tradition, and just about really having a love for nature, and, you know, kind of the circle of life too. I mean, there's a respect for deer, but the hunting process is about harvesting and controlling the herd also up here, which is necessary. So, you know, I guess in short term, Pete, it's about family and tradition, because that's, we get so many kids that call the show, and that's so much fun to talk to the young kids, because I like to talk to the kids and have them rat somebody else out in their camp. I'll say, you know, who's the hardest to get along with? And one kid, I think one this week said grandpa, just threw grandpa right under the bus right away. So it's just so much fun to share in that heritage, and something that I also had a chance to experience when I was younger too.
That's so great and well said. I mean, I've never hunted, Joel, but you've been doing this for 50 years, or maybe not you, but this show has been on the air for 50 years. What would you tell someone like me who doesn't hunt? I have a lot of friends that hunt. I kind of know why they like it, but what is the best thing a non-hunter misses out on by not hunting?
Well, the camaraderie, just because it is about, I mean, the opening morning, people will sit in their deer stands, but it is a lot about driving and a lot about communication. And a lot of people look forward more to what happens after dark at the cabin, and cooking supper and playing board games and hanging out and having a few cold ones. So, yeah, I mean, it's about the hunt, but, you know, it's so much more than that. And I guess for someone who doesn't hunt, I think they can probably translate something they do in their life to this also, whether it be a love of shopping or a love of playing on a basketball league or hockey, like, or
poker,
whatever.
Yeah,
poker. I mean, yeah, it's about the game a little bit, but it's more about, you know, the friendships and connections, and that's the connection I think that a lot of people have to this show, even though they don't even hunt. We've had so many people say, I'm not even a hunter. And I started listening, and then I found myself an hour later just intrigued by these people calling in from all over the Northwoods. So
I think my favorite stories are about people I know that went to the cabin, but never even made it out into the woods. They just wanted to eat and drink. And I have a friend of a friend who went to, it's the same situation when you have alcohol, it's always hit or miss. Like, One of his bucket list things was to go to a Badgers game. Well, he got there, he tailgated, passed out in the car, and never made it into Camp Randall. And I feel like with hunters, I've heard stories that are similar to that. They don't leave the cabin. You know, my guest is Joel Karnick. He hosts the morning show on Q98 in Park Falls here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And he has a show called Deer Hunters Roundup. If you haven't checked it out, you can look at the podcast on the Civic Media Radio Network or check it out next year, as I'm sure it will be back. Joel, you talked about wolves and bears. I'm fascinated by the fact that there are wolves in Wisconsin again and bears. Every once in a while, we'll hear a bear sighting in Marinette. And I'm not an outdoorsy guy, but I'm fascinated by these animals. Are they overpopulated like the deer, or what is the danger in them as opposed to the deer population, or a risk they might pose to the deer population?
Well, I'm nowhere near an expert on it, but after several years of taking people's calls, I mean, there is a wolf problem. There's no doubt about it. And from what I understand is that the state of Wisconsin understands this, and they want to have a little bit more of a hunt to bring the herd of wolves down in northern Wisconsin. But from what I understand, it's at the federal level, they are having problems approving this for whatever reason. It's not really a bear problem. It's more of a wolf problem. From what I understand from talking to hunters is that wolves will drive deer out of certain areas. If a hunter sees a wolf on their camera at night, which is a very popular thing for hunters to do, if they see a wolf, they kind of know that the deer have cleared out of that area for a rather significant area. And I think I've seen it this year. In the past several years, we're seeing certain camps that are getting 8-9 deer. They're filling all of their tags. And another camp, 10-15 miles away hasn't seen a deer. So wow. that kind of gives you an idea. Again, I'm not an expert on it, but this is what our listeners and callers to the show have kind of pointed to us, is they all just kind of mention, we're seeing wolves. And we know that wolves are a main predator of deer. So a bear will take down fawns, but generally a bear isn't going to take down a larger deer. So you have bears who are trimming some of the fawns down, which is a natural process, but the wolves taking down the rest of the deer and chasing them, that continues to be an issue up here.
All right, we'll have a few more minutes with Joel Karnick. When we come back, we're talking hunting. Maybe we'll talk a little country music when we come back, and I'm going to ask Joel what he's watching on TV when he's done putting in long hours at Q98 there in Park Falls. Great to have you with me tonight, ladies and gentlemen. So fun. Text us questions if you have them. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Craig on the stream says, congratulations on an amazing first year, and I hope for many more. I also hope to see you soon. And if anybody's on the road right now, be extra careful. Those roads are nasty. And I know it. I don't know, Joel, what the weather's like over by you, but I was about to get in the car today at 3:30 to leave myself extra time, and the roads were terrible, and it was like a whiteout here that didn't even show up on the app. So are you guys having this weather in Park Falls?
Yeah, we've had probably 5 or 6 inches, about 40 mile an hour wind gust. So it's pretty rough driving up here right now.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere here.
My
guest is Joel Karnick. He is the program director and morning show host at Q98 in Park Falls. And you can hear that show here on the app as well. He's part of the Civic Media team. Joel, okay, I have a question for you. So as I mentioned before, I'm kind of an inside guy. I like my color television, my movies. If you had to give me advice on how to be an outdoorsy guy, how would you have me start? Snowshoeing, cross-country skiing, a little fishing. Where should I start? Because I feel like I'm an outcast on some level here in Marinette.
Well, I mean, the hunting thing, everybody, I think when somebody says to you right away, hey, do you want to go hunting? I think you go with your first instinct on that. If you're kind of like, nah, don't really want to see an animal die. Or you're like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. I think you go with your first instinct. And if you're all right with the whole process, linking up with someone who, you know, kind of has done it before and learning and tagging along with them, I think is a good experience. Just to kind of walk out in the woods with a bow or a gun and just winging it yourself might be kind of a rough experience. But I think you go with your first instinct on that. And I respect either side of the spectrum there when it comes to hunting. I get it, because I shot a deer when I was young, and I had moments where I kind of cringe too when the whole process happened. So I get it. So I mean, if someone wants to get into hunting, you know, maybe a relative who hunts, they're always very inclusive and welcoming. Maybe you call them up and say, hey, you know, can I come over for a couple of days next year and tag along and maybe hunt a little bit with you? And I guarantee you the answer will be yes.
I think it's funny that you just said that. You're right. It would be weird if I went to you and said, hey, Joel, I want to kill a bunch of animals. Where do I start? you ever take a deer down with your bare hands, Joel, and really go mano a mano?
Oh, many, many deer. Yes. In my macho man dreams. Yes, I've done that many times. But I actually only got one deer when I was in high school. I wasn't an avid hunter, but I have a brother who lives still in northern Wisconsin. He hunts, and really it started with me. My dad always took the entire week off of deer hunting season. So as a youngster, I had three older brothers. It was kind of like, you know, if you want to spend time with the family and dad, yeah, you hunt it. So yeah. We, you know, it was just kind of the process that that we went out with dad and hunted that week. It was a special week.
Tons of tradition for hunters here in Wisconsin, certainly, and other places in the Midwest too, but certainly here in Wisconsin. All right. So I want to ask you, Joel, when you're done program directing and playing country tunes and talking about hunting, what do you do when you go home and you kick your feet up? What are you watching on TV?
Well, I'm a big sports fan. I love watching live sports. I kind of grew up with a Minnesota tint in my blood, but I just love watching anything with the Packers, Lions, Bears, Vikings. So I'm a big sports fan. If that's not on, usually when I do that, my wife will slither to the second TV and she'll watch what she wants. But I like documentaries. I like unique shows. I like anything Mike Schur directs. Man on the Inside. We just started watching that on Netflix. Oh, yeah. In fact, we're in the middle. When I'm done here, we'll go and watch like the fifth episode of that. So I think when you get older, Pete, and I don't know if you have found this at all, but it gets harder, I think, to find stuff that really is entertaining. My wife and I are very selective in what we watch, and we find ourselves rewatching some old things a lot. But documentaries are the big thing. I'm very intrigued to see information come out about situations and celebrities that just are just jaw-dropping, just like, wow.
Yeah.
So that gets me.
I want to check out that Man on the Inside. And I'm with you. I totally, Joel, you know, my background is in comedy, but I find myself not really being as interested in watching comedy at night. Like I like a good mystery or a good documentary or a thriller or something where there's like a crime thing. But your tastes just change as you go through life. And, you know, I can't explain it, but, it's all good stuff, but thank you for the recommendation. I'm going to check out Man on the Inside.
I still laugh at Seinfeld too. I can't. Get, oh yeah. I could watch it like 10 every episode I've seen. It's like my modern version of Gilligan's Island, and I knew every Gilligan's Island episode. I have no idea why, but Seinfeld always makes me laugh if I want a guaranteed laugh.
It's like still the funniest show on TV. How about the Gilligan's Island episode? Do you remember the one where the Harlem Globetrotters landed on the island? And then somehow Gilligan gets in the game. It was so great.
Even as like a 10 or 12 year old, I thought that was a little ridiculous,
but
I was all right with it. It was the Harlem Globetrotters. So I was all right with it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Even though I was 12 years old, and I remember watching that episode, I was doing stand-up comedy work in the road. I was in Ann Arbor at a buddy's house. I stayed overnight with him, and that show was on. The Harlem Globetrotters episode was on in the morning. We're just kind of laying there in his living room watching it. And the Harlem Globetrotters ended up playing against robots. And then Gilligan went into the game, and that's the part my friend had an issue with. He said, oh, yeah, like Gilligan's going to play. I'm like, were you buying all this up until then? Like, that's the part you take issue with?
That's a cutoff point right there.
Yeah, exactly. You'd had enough. Hey, Joel, this was fun. Like, let's do this again soon. Don't be a stranger. And, yeah, we'll have you on next year. Absolutely. But let's talk before then and get you back on the show sometime. Thanks so much, Pete, for your time.
Congrats on the 1 year. And
thank you.
Glad to have you as a part of the Civic Media crew here.
Likewise, buddy. Keep up the great work. Thanks so much. All right. That's Joel Karnik. Check out, go to Civic Media, go to the website. And that's the great thing about the Civic Media website. You can listen to any of the shows on the network or in different communities. It's all right there. Check out Deer Hunters Roundup. It just is an immensely popular show. And Joel does a great job there. So lots of fun. All right. When we come back, Conrad, how are we doing on time?
We have about a minute.
All right. Let me see what we can do. We got a lot of text to get to. We'll get to all of them before the end of the show. We talked to our friend Bill Leff, and we will play that interview next, and then we will come back and read some more text too. Sherry, I read the Robert De Niro one. She does not want... Sherry says she does not want Robert De Niro. She wants Sam Elliott.
Okay.
So, okay, she's going even older,
just,
I think.
Go for both. Why not?
Yeah, why not? They're both swell guys. Eric from Lodi says, my drama teacher in middle school used to be on the Three Stooges. Her name was Dee Green and often played opposite Shemp. Are you kidding me? As an awkward music student or other gawky young woman. Oh, that is awesome, Eric. Thank you for sharing that. All right, we've got more text to get to. We'll do that after our interview with Bill Leff, which is coming up next after the news. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight celebrating 1 year on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the moment we've all been waiting for. At least I've been waiting for, and Conrad's been waiting for. As you know, as we've mentioned throughout the night, Nightlight has been on for 1 year. As of today, and my first guest on the show when we kicked this thing off back in 2023, way back in 2023, was my good friend, Bill Leff. He was our first guest, and we brought him back to commemorate this day. He was such a fun first guest, and he's such a good guy. We had to have him on today. He's a comedian, an accomplished radio host, and most currently, the host of MeTV's nationally syndicated morning show, Tune In With Me, Bill Leff. Bill.
Pete, I can't believe it's a year. How in the world did that happen? It's a year.
Happy anniversary, buddy.
Happy anniversary to you. No one, Pete, nobody thought you'd last a year. Your family, your friends, relatives, people walking by. I asked them all. They all said, nah, I give it 3 weeks for it the most. Here we are a year later. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, buddy. And congratulations on your network. I had no idea you were tied in with everyone from my life. Well, I had doubts about the show.
You know, you're... orthodontist Dr. Kimbrough, who said, by the way, you still owe him over $6,000. He said to me, he goes, I turned it on one time by accident. I go, I know that guy. That's Pete Schwabba. There's no way this lasts a year. I said, sorry, Dr. Kimbrough. It's a year exactly.
Take that, Dr. Kimbrough.
Take that, Dr. Kimbrough.
Do you even know who my dentist is?
I know things. I do my research, Pete. You know that.
I do know that. Listen, I want to say, too, I don't want to take all the credit for your success, but since you've come on Nightlight 1 year ago, God knows how many listeners we had then, Bill. Did you see a bump in ratings?
No, not really. I thought there would have been some sort of a bump, but there wasn't. Actually, we lost about a third of our viewers. But, you know, that's how the show works. I mean, you gain some, you lose some. It's a revolving door. You know that.
One step forward, two steps back. And you came on this show... Sorry, go ahead, Bill.
No, that's exactly what the way they sing it, that one step forward, two steps back.
That's right. You said Conrad threatened to kill you a year ago with very little proof, frankly.
Yeah.
And now, you know, this is your first appearance. That was your first appearance. Are you willing to walk that back at all? Are you doubling down?
No, Conrad is a nice guy. I'm not here to slam Conrad. There'll be plenty of time for that later. but he's a guy who has this weird obsession with killing your guests. I don't know if I'm the only one he does that to. Maybe I was the first guest, so he goes, it's good luck to kill the first guest. I don't know. But he's threatened me a lot. He's threatened my family. And then I'm going to say this, and this is going to shock you about Conrad. You've only known him a year, right, Pete?
Pretty much, yeah.
About a year? All right, so he's threatened to kill me. He knows where I live. He's threatened to start the house on fire. I hope that never happens. So then I find out, this is about a month and a half ago, I find out that I have uveitis. Have you ever heard of uveitis?
I have not. That sounds serious, though, Bill.
It's a rare disease. I think, like they said, 5 people have it, uveitis. Wow. So what happens is your uvula, that's that thing in the back of your throat that hangs down, it engorges to like 500 times its normal size.
Dear God.
It's really dangerous. It's horrible. And you get it when you least expect it. You know, that's always the case with uveitis. And then they said, what you need to do is you need to stop it because you can't breathe. And all of your organs, they like fall out of your body, you know, your spleen and your everything else that's not your spleen. So I don't know what to do. And then Conrad calls me up out of the blue and he goes, hey, I never use my uvula. If you need it, it's yours.
Oh, are you talking a transplant?
Yeah, that would be like a... Did you ever see that movie Face Off with John Travolta and Nicolas Cage?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I would give him my uvula, my faulty uvulitis-filled uvula, and he would give me his clean, fresh uvula.
So the thinking being that Conrad has a natural, larger oral cavity than you.
He's got
what
they call a big windpipe.
Boy, that's lucky.
Isn't that nice? No, it's so fortunate. So, that's what I said that night. I said to my family, how fortunate is it that Conrad, the same Conrad that threatened to off us all, myself, my wife and my daughters, and some of our friends, but that's the same guy that said, if you have a faulty uvula, come to me. I'll help you.
He's giving you life.
I think that's the best way to say it. Yes, he is.
Or
yes, he
just wants you healthy when he kills you because he doesn't want to, you know, he wants to lay it all in the field, I think is the phrase.
Do you think I should, if you tell me, Pete, honestly, if you say to me, that's what I'd be worried about, I'll start worrying right now. But to me, it's just like a gesture of kindness. Like you ever hear these stories about guys that turn over a new leaf? It's that kind of a feeling. Like I have been bad. I've been a very bad boy. I'm going to fix that today, immediately.
With a new uvula. That's so great.
With a great new uvula. I'll be honest. I like the one I have. If I didn't have uvulitis, there's no way I'd trade. No way.
Yeah. Have you ever had pink eye, Bill? That's kind of a serious thing, right?
I've not had pink eye. Have you had it?
I've had it, yeah. I got it at the Y once. No, it can be, it's just conjunctivitis. It's nothing to be too. Oh. But let's, all right, we've talked about this. We got to put this to bed. Let's workshop this. Conrad, are you cool with Bill? Let's just get this out of the way.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's a commitment.
that's a vote of confidence.
Let's just move forward because I'll come clean right now. Bill. Conrad has threatened to kill every guest I've had. He has been unsuccessful with all of them. He is the worst killer ever. I think his intentions are good, but I don't think you have anything to worry about, really.
He said to me one time when he was trying to kill me, I go, where did you go to hitman school? And he took an online course from the University of Nebraska or something. He didn't even go in.
Like the University of Phoenix.
Yeah, he'd go to the University of Phoenix.
He got a certificate, yeah. So, all right, Bill, my guest is Bill Leff. He's the host of Tune In With Me, a nationally syndicated morning show. Check it out if you haven't. He was my first guest on Nightlight a year ago. He came back. He's a busy guy, but he made time tonight. And I love having you here, Bill. what I wanted to touch on something with you because you're a huge fan of Christmas, right?
Yeah, I love Christmas. I'm a Christmas boy.
You are. And I remember, you know, your parties. I've heard you love Christmas more than anybody. And you and your wife, Carrie, have some really fun parties. I've never been invited, but when I look in the windows, it looks like people are having a really good time.
Have you never been invited to our parties?
I have been. I was actually at two of them. And
yeah, I was just going to say, I've seen you there.
Yeah. And I, you know what? And to be honest, I met John Travolta's sister at one of your parties, and you kind of went next level with me. And I thought, if I can one day have the sibling of a celebrity at one of my holiday parties, I'll know I've arrived. That was pretty exciting.
When Carrie and I first got together, Pete, we said, let's do, because she loves Christmas too, let's do a big Christmas party every year with all of our friends. And I said, the only way I would do it is if one of John Travolta's siblings could do it. And we tried Joey Travolta, and he couldn't do it. And Ann Travolta couldn't do it. But Margaret's been very nice. She's been to a couple of them. She's fun.
And you really, I will credit you, you stuck to your guns. One year, Freddie Boom Boom Washington said he could be there, and you said, no, it's got to be a sibling, not just a brother, so to speak. It's got to be an actual sibling. So
it's got to be a sibling of John Travolta's. Be honest with me, was I rude when I said that to him? Because I didn't mean it in a bad way, but rules are rules.
Absolutely. No, he was fine. He had some eggnog and he left. And
he was fine.
Everyone was none the wiser. So Bill, where did this start with you with Christmas? You know, when does the Christmas spirit take over Bill Leff? Because you really are a Christmas fanatic. And so much so that when I went to your party a couple times, I got into it. You have these great Dickens Village houses and you really just crush it, man.
Yeah, there's a room downstairs that it's the Christmas Village, and we alternate various snow villages. Right now it's the North Pole, and there's 30 something buildings, and there's mountains and rivers and stars and trees. And it takes a few days to set up and a few days to take down. But I've had relatives say it doesn't feel like Christmas until I see the village every year. Sometimes they drive in from other cities, and what a compliment that is. Ever since I was a kid, my parents just loved Christmas so much, and we would decorate the house so much. And I thought, I got to find somebody who's as nutty for this holiday as I am. And we go all out. We decorate big. On the inside, on the outside, my wife does some really nice lights, but you can't tell what magic awaits once you walk in the doors.
That's great. That's very well put. And I will say, like, when I was a young comic, I think the first party I went to of yours, I was like 23 or 24. And, you know, comics are so jaded. And I'm just trying to fit in. And you were nice enough to invite me and my wife. And I got there and I was like, wow, this guy's really funny. And he loves Christmas like I do. So that was a very, I had no idea years later I would have a radio show that would threaten your life. But I want to thank you for that. It was so much fun.
Well, now did you, when you got married to Mary, was she also a Christmas fanatic, or does it only go as deep as you?
No, she's big time. Her mom really got into it. And, it's just so much fun. And it's good to be on the same page. Like, you know, you don't want someone who like expects you to do all the work or all the decorating. It's fun when the whole family gets into it, you know?
Now, the only downside of that is this. It's such a holiday based on tradition and nostalgia. And I don't know if you and Mary experienced this or not, but the biggest fight my wife and I have ever had is over, should the Christmas tree lights be colorful lights or should they be all white lights or clear lights? I grew up with colorful lights.
Okay,
I like the colored lights. She likes the white lights. So guess which we've had every year since we've been together?
The white lights.
White lights. You have to know who's in charge, Pete. You can't tease yourself. You have to find out who's in charge and just play the roles. You know?
I think you probably showed your cards. She knew how much of a Christmas fanatic you were. And she's like, do you want this party or don't you? Do you want a Travolta in the house or do you want colored lights? It's really up to you.
That's pretty accurate. That's pretty accurate. So back then when we were doing our comics Christmas party that we did every year, I make gingerbread men every year. And back then I would theme them. Like one year I did all talk show hosts. One year I did NFL stars. One year I did TV stars from the 1950s and 60s. So every year I would make them look like whatever the theme was.
How did you do that? That's impressive.
It wasn't easy. All I remember is the one that was the late night TV show host. The one that was Conan O'Brien was really easy to tell because there was like a shock of red hair, so everybody knew who that one was. But some of them, like Merv Griffin, was a little hard to determine. And Dinah Shore, I don't think to this day anyone believes that it was Dinah Shore as a gingerbread cookie.
Is that Dinah Shore or is that Joan Rivers? Are we going to split hairs here or what?
They look similar. I don't know.
That's so great. Now, so do you still have this party, Bill?
No, we haven't had it in years.
Okay.
Mostly because all the stand-ups kind of, you know, there's only a couple of us that stayed here in Chicago. Everybody else either went to New York or Los Angeles, or they're, you know, doing hard time in a jail somewhere, hoping to get out one day.
It happens.
That happens.
Bill, I want to give you a movie recommendation because we mentioned the Travolta family tonight. Mike Toomey was on last night, and I played a clip from him.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I played a clip for him, and he had to guess the movie, the John Travolta movie, and it was Boy in a Plastic Bubble. So see Barbara, tell her she has a fan. Her brother has a fan in Mike Toomey. That's a message that'll get relayed.
All right.
Hey, buddy, this is so much fun, Bill. I know you're out the door tonight. You got something to do, but I really appreciate you coming on the show. And thank you for being our first guest. And thank you for being our last guest of the first year. That's a nice book in there. Thanks so much, buddy.
Well, I'm more than happy to do it, Pete. And more than anything, congratulations to you. And yes, Conrad, the poorest hitman in the world, for making this show so good. I've heard it on several occasions. It always makes me smile. You're doing a bang-up job, so keep it up.
Thank you, buddy. Have a great night, Bill. Thanks so much.
All right, you too, Pete. Bye.
All right, see ya. That's Bill Left. Check out Tune In With Me every morning on the MeTV Network. It's a great blend of old-time cartoons and fun sketches, and Bill is great as a host. And he was great as a first guest and the last guest of our first year. So this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabel. We'll be back to wrap it up after this.
Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on? What's going on?
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, Pete, you might want to unmute.
But if I unmute, then people will hear me. I don't want to end the show on a bad note. I was really stressed out. The weather got to me tonight. I ended up doing the show from home. But I appreciate you guys sticking with us. It was a really fun show. And we've got some text to read here, buddy, before we get out of here. And this is so funny. I love. So we read Eric's text. All right. Paula, Conrad's mom checks in and says, Nightlight. Happy Nightlight anniversary, Pete and Conrad. Thank you, Paula. You've been an avid listener, and we appreciate that very much. And I hope you're not just listening because you're Conrad's mom, but I have a feeling you are, and that's totally acceptable. Conrad's dad checks in and says, happy one-year anniversary. On Santa's list, I'm asking for a Green Bay Packers Super Bowl win. You and many other people, Steve. Conrad, what do you think the Packers' odds are on that to make your dad's wish come true?
You know, you just got to...
If you had to choose.
You know, I'm going to put it on my list, too, now, just because... The big man's going to see all these wishes and be like, all right, well, I'm going to have to do it.
That's a very, okay. I can live with that. And here's what I'm going to put on my Santa's list. Cause I said I would ruminate over this throughout the course of the show. Every day, you know, I say a quick little prayer. I drive every day to Green Bay and back. And I always say, please let everyone travel safely. And I really mean this, folks. You guys are all listening. Some of you are in your car. Be careful. I just pray for the health and safety of the people I love and our listeners and the Krieger family. I hope everyone has a safe holiday season. That's really what I want. And a lot of cash. Let's be honest. Send me money, people. That's what I'm looking for here. I suck up and then I ask you to send me money. That's how I roll. Bridget checks in from the 818 and says, I am hoping for an iPad. Okay, that's doable. I think Santa can make that happen. Bridget continues, says, congratulations, Pete. I love Nightlight. Great job, Conrad. There you go. People rolling in with the love. I love it. And Tom from Jackson, that's in the 414, says, I listened to The Hunting Show and enjoyed it. Tom, I will be sure and relay that to Joel Karnick. I'm sorry I just saw this now, but I'm sure he will love to hear that. And thank you for listening to Civic Media. Steady Eddie, I was getting worried, but he's here. He's chiming in. He says, Pete, congrats on your parentheses and Conrad's anniversary. It's only been a year, but it feels like 25. Steadfast Edwards 2024 Christmas list. Dear Santa, I have been especially good this year. I have sent you my long and comprehensive Christmas list, but if that seems too complicated, make it easy on yourself. Just send money, lots of money. I am with you, Steady Eddie, preferably tens and twenties. All I want is my fair share, and all I want is what's coming to me. Steady, good grief, Eddie. Steady Eddie always surprises us, Conrad. He always has like a new nickname or something he likes to throw in there. I like it. That's it. So we're caught up on text. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This is a really fun show. I hope we're around next year doing this as well on a two-year anniversary. And I hope we have another year of laughs and fun and great listenership and great texting and interacting with listeners because you guys really make the show fun. I would like to thank my guest tonight, Bill Leff, our first and last guest of the year, and Joel Karnick from Q98 in Park Falls here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and our friend Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thank you to Conrad as well. Conrad, I think you know what song I want to go out with tonight. I know we're not quite there yet.
Yeah.
Are you catching my drift?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Very good. How much time do we have?
We have a little bit more than 2 minutes.
Should I sing something or what should we do?
Well, we could play a little bit of that clip that you wanted.
What was the clip again?
I'm the Dude.
Let's save that. We could save that one. All right. And also Jesse Strong, who does social media for Green Bay and Oshkosh, WISS and WGBW, just put a whole bunch of pictures on Facebook on Facebook from over the course of the year. So check out the pictures. There's some fun guests and pictures of me with guests after the show and Conrad. And if you're there, give us a like or a follow if you're on Facebook or the artist formerly known as Twitter, X, or wherever you watch Nightlight. We would love to hear from you and love your support through a like or a follow. Conrad, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you liked Nightlight? Because sometimes it's the ones closest to us. I don't think I liked it until 4 months in. I'm like, oh, I can like my own show, but I never did. But finally I did.
Let me make sure here quick, actually. I believe,
all right, Conrad,
I believe
is checking. This will make for good radio, just like when we go to the Google. When we have a guest,
would you be surprised if I said no?
No, I wouldn't, because like I said, it was like 3 months for me. I'm like, hey, I should like that. You know, when you're in social, when you do something in the media, you could take all the support you can get, likes, follows, whatever, right? I mean, so if you haven't liked it,
I liked it.
Oh, you did? You already did?
Yep.
All right. So you got your, you're doing your job. All right, tomorrow night on the show, folks, we have another great one. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's our popcorn pick of the week. It's Thursday night at 6:35. Faith Flynn from Caribou Coffee will join us. Logan Rogie from Travel Wisconsin will be here at 7:05. And then our friend Emerson Lehman from the WBAY Morning Show will be here at 7:35. That's tomorrow night on Nightlight. We'll be back to do it all again. Thank you, folks, for celebrating year number one with us. Have a great night, everybody. Thank you on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. And good night, Wisconsin.
He'd figure out a way to rescue Terrence and Phillip before they're executed.
We can't do anything. Our mom's organization is too strong.
Well, then we'll round up all the grounded kids in town and start our own organization. An organization to help save Terrence and Phillip.
Hey, yeah, our own secret club.
I guess that could work.
We have to try. What would Brian Boitano do if he was here right now? He'd make a plan and he'd follow through. That's what Brian Boitano do.
When Brian Boitano was in the Olympics skating for the gold, he did 2 sal cows and a triple lutz while wearing a blindfold.
When Brian Boitano was in the Alps fighting grizzly bears, he used his magical fire breath and saved the maidens there. So what would Brian Boitano do if he were here today? I'm sure he'd kick an ass or two. That's what Brian Boitano do.
What Brian Boitano do.
Someone
say my name?
Who are you?
I'm Brian Dennehy.
What? No, not Brian Dennehy. Get out of here.
Oh, bye.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.